Good morning out there in Taxiland. This is the Mike and Abe Show, and today is Tuesday, February 15th. I'm Abe, and Mike, talk to me.
Yes.
Talk to me, Mike.
I will. I'm going to talk to everybody. I am a New York City zero-degree survivor after the last few days. My God, it was unbelievable. And, of course, the club kids are out in force like nothing happens. I don't know if they're... if they're from another planet, or if they're drinking shots, or what they're doing, but they didn't miss a beat on Valentine's Day weekend. So God bless them. I don't know if they're all in the hospital with pneumonia now, but the guys wearing shirts, the girls wearing mini skirts, at 0 degree. I'm trying to figure that out. You know.
Well, it was great. Well, they may have been hot.
I don't know.
You know, drinking at a bar all night and, dancing and, you get sweaty and, the sweat would freeze as soon as you hit the 6 degree temperature, right?
Right.
So Mike.
We shall see.
Yeah, Mike, off the air, you were telling me that all the Uberites are back or what?
Well, yeah. What's crazy is... a lot of the Uber people are coming back, and I wrote a little thing on this website about how they're complaining to me about how horrible Uber is when they come back. It's like I'm their psychiatrist, which also in a way makes me feel good, because all this hoopla about robot cars and robot cabs, listen, people like to talk to cab drivers. It's just another internet nonsense thing that is... It's like a team of people who constantly post propaganda. But people like to talk to cab drivers. And
yeah.
That's what I found out, because they said the Uber guys, first of all, they said the Uber guys' cars, they're starting to smell. Because apparently these Uber guys have to work 2 rush hours, and basically they've turned the car into like a nest. So it smells like old food, it smells like BO, and the guy doesn't know where he's going. So these people are just coming back in droves to the yellow cabs, because at least... we know what we're doing, and we have shifts. The other guys, I don't think they're changing their clothes. These people are giving me these horror stories about coming back from the Uber car thing, but you don't feel sorry for the Uber drivers.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Tell the people, as a cab driver, why you don't feel bad, because some people, there's one organization that says we have to help the Uber drivers, and I'm always saying, why don't they just drive yellow cabs?
Yeah, well, that's the way to help them. That's the way to help them. Let them back into the yellow industry, even though they're guilty of desertion. Okay, I mean, if this was a war and this was and they were in the military, they would be subject to the death penalty.
Don't say it on the air, but they would be thrown on the wall.
No. Well, the penalty for desertion during war is death. Okay. But we're not going to those extremes. We're only a business in New York City, okay? We're not fighting in the jungles of Vietnam or on the deserts of the Middle East, whatever. Okay, they should have never left. They were duped.
Right.
Okay.
They were suckers.
Yeah, they were suckers. There's one born every minute. Somebody said that, right? I think there was one born every 30 seconds when it came to the Uber thing. All right. Now you mentioned something interesting, okay? About how people like to talk to taxi drivers, right?
Yes.
Did you listen to the Taxi Dave Show last night?
Yes, I did. It was a very eclectic mix of guests.
Well, Taxi Dave had some very interesting breaking news. Did you hear what he said about partitions?
Bring me up to speed, because I heard a brief flirtation and I was sworn to silence. But if you're breaking the news, this is breaking news.
No, he broke it on the Taxi Dave Show last night that the TLC is considering, and hopefully they'll go through with it. They're going to finally take out the partition option, and either partition or camera, the choice will be up to the taxi owner.
Right. Well, I mean, I just hope cabbies don't, there's been a lot of slashings in the news. I hope cabbies don't start getting their throats slashed and robbed because of that. But I will say a problem with a lot of the cars today is the taller drivers, like anybody over 6 feet tall, it's hard to drive a cab. It's like you're in the circus. So they got a lot of smaller cars out there, and a lot of drivers just can't physically fit into the cab. It's crazy.
Well, is that because of the partition?
I'm sorry?
Is that because of the partition?
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the garages, they go overboard. They squash the partition all the way up. And I've asked a few guys, I said, why'd you put this partition all the way up? He goes, no, because the blah, 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 blah. And then you're talking to a guy who's, 5'3".
So it's the only way they can mechanically fit it in.
Well, and then I guess their thing is the passenger has to get in, too. So that's a big part of the puzzle, you know?
You know, part of the rule may come from the fact that Mr. David Yaski, our former commissioner, who resigned before he was fired, okay? One of the last things he did was pass a bill that says the partitions have to be crash tested or factory installed, okay?
Factory installed.
Yeah, and that was because he was afraid that the Taxi of Tomorrow was going to be defeated in the court, and the only way to get a factory installed partition was with the Taxi of Tomorrow, okay? So the rule still stands. So to reverse that rule, perhaps they're just saying, well, you don't have to have a partition.
Right. No, it's almost like they've just passed a rule that says, okay, we can do this, but it has to be factory. So what factory that makes cars is going to waste their time installing cab partitions?
The Nissan MV200.
Well, they have a factory to make this crazy car. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This Nissan MV200, I've driven that car. There are good things. First of all, it has the best seat I've ever sat in my life. And I had a guy in the cab, ironically, who said he was on the design team for the Nissan seat. And I said, well, how much if I want to get one for my house? He goes, oh, it'd be about $2,000. So the driver's seat was about $2,000 in a Nissan car. But you can't talk to the driver. I mean, they have this solid partition where it's almost, they have like a glory hole on the lower right for cash. It's a solid partition. And it totally dehumanizes the poor cab driver and the passengers. And you and me, when we drove, I know I made a lot of money on tips. Because people like to talk to me, you know?
Right, me too.
And let me tell you, not to jump topics too much, but let me just say something. They should pass a rule that says, listen, please notify the driver in advance if you don't tip, okay? Because I got all these people plying me for information. At the end of the ride, they don't tip. And I had this one smartass last night, who I know he was from England, he knows all about tipping. Asked me all these questions, and he wanted to stop and have a cigarette and blah, blah, blah. Then at the end of the trip, I wouldn't let him smoke in the cab. He gave me exactly what the fare was. So I think what we have to do is pass a law to say, please notify the driver if you don't tip, and then maybe put a 15% service charge for people that don't tip.
That'll never happen.
Mike,
be realistic. You know that'll never happen. Okay.
Well, they're ripping off the cabbie, and they're ripping off the public, because the fare is created, the meter fare is 15% less because they factor in the fact that people tip.
There's always going to be a certain percentage of people that will not tip. Okay.
Well, they should tell the driver in advance that they're not tipping.
Mike, if they did that, they'd be setting themselves up for a get the hell out. You know.
Good.
No, you can't do that, Mike. Come on. Come on. Mike, you can't do that. You know, you gotta be, you know, be grateful for every fare that you get. Okay? You know, if they don't want a tip, how about if they don't want a tip, they don't want a tip. Okay? You can't solicit people and know whether or not they're going to tip. Okay? You know, you can make a pretty good living in a yellow cab, whether the passengers tip or they don't tip. You're going to get a greater percentage of people that will tip. More like 90-95% of the people will tip. So occasionally you know, there are people out there that can't afford to tip.
Oh, stop.
No, come on. Come on, not everybody makes as much money as you, Mike.
thank God for that. Otherwise, we'd all be eating at a garbage can.
No.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
The same person doesn't tip the cab driver. They don't tip in the restaurant. They don't tip the bartender. They don't tip the doorman. They don't tip in the wait. So you got this, like, little smart-ass army of, and a lot of them are the millennials with their little deadbeat routine where they think they're cute. And unfortunately, let me tell you something, kid. A lot of these Uber customers coming back are the deadbeats who don't tip. I don't know what the problem is, but they're very cheap. And I think that's why they went to Uber in the first place. And you say we need all our customers? I don't know about that.
Well, I'm just going to, in a friendly way, disagree with you, okay? Because every customer is a good customer, okay?
Oh, the guy who threw up in the cab?
No, not that one. Not that one.
Okay, so then.
Okay, you know, I'm talking about as far as, you know, people that will ride in the back, not give you a hard time, and pay the fare when they get out, okay? You know, you took them somewhere. You made money on them. You know, we're in a business where you can't expect to make an exact amount of money every day. Some days you're going to make more, and some days you're going to make less. Okay, but when you average it all out, it's all good.
All right, let me my last word on this because I don't want the whole show to be dominated.
No,
I don't
it won't
want to
be.
Waste the show on people who don't tip because that's another thing that they're screwing me out of as a show. So the thing is, I just like to say the taxi commission made the fare under the idea that people tip. There's 15%. In fact, even when you file with Uncle Sam, you got to put that on your tax.
That's true.
Tips.
Yeah, right? well, they expect that Uncle Sam expects that you will get a certain percentage.
Right, and so I mean, this is the thing. So we're by law, it's almost like the law is expecting people to tip because they've made the fare 15% less because they expect people to tip. Uncle Sam wants tips included in your returns. So these deadbeats are running around, and I'll tell you, they should put the mark of Zorro on their forehead and put deadbeat tattooed on their forehead.
Well, perhaps you would like the tip included in the meter, and like they do in some restaurants where they include it in the bill.
Well, this is the problem. I mean, forget the cab driver for a second. You have a situation now where this the deadbeats, then they stiff the cabbie, then they go to a restaurant. They send back the dinner. My wine is too warm. I want to make all these BS excuses. Then they don't tip. So they go from the cab to the restaurant, then back to the hotel again with not tipping.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs these people? You say we need them. I say we don't.
Okay, listen, Mike, we have a lot of topics to cover. I'm just going to end this discussion about tips by saying it is what it is. Be nice to all of your customers. Period. End of story. Let's move on. Okay?
I'll try. It won't be easy, but I'll try. Okay. What are we moving on to?
Let's move on to Seeking Alpha.
Seeking Alpha.
You know, that website that is always giving us predictions of what they think the future will be in business. You know, Seeking Alpha is a website that's for stock people that buy stocks. Okay?
Yeah.
And you read the article about Uber, the hits just keep on coming?
Right.
Yes, did you read it or did you not read it?
I'm reading it now.
Okay, all right.
Paragraph.
Okay, good.
I'm not a moron yet.
No, yes. And you're not a moron, period. You sometimes act like one, but you're not one.
That's right. Well, thank you for saying it.
This is the Mike and Abe Comedy Show, folks. You know, you can laugh all you want. You can laugh all you want, okay?
Oh, yeah. It is?
So anyway,
you know, you have this whole show direction about pounding away about Uber every nanosecond. Some people like levity every now and then. I mean, it's like constant Uber. Enough.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's move on to another subject. You don't want to talk about Uber?
Dude, it's the entire show. Fark Suber, that's what I say.
Fark Suber?
Yeah. I can't say what I want to say on the air.
Well, you can say Fark.
What else we got? Let's go ahead.
You can say Funk. You can say Funk.
Funk Suber.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Funk with the driver sitting in the car for 19 hours and with the same underwear.
All right.
What else we got?
Well, we got the Seeking Alpha article, which, and I'll just read the top portion. Latest round of Uber price cuts accelerate the race to the bottom. Customer service and vehicle safety will decline as drivers try to make up for less revenue. This is the exact pattern New York City faced in the 1930s and why the Hass Act was passed. And taxi medallion financial industry players like lenders will reap the benefits. That's the lead to the article, which is posted on NYC Taxi News if anybody wants to read the whole article. Basically,
what's the name of the article?
The name of the article is The Hits Just Keep On Coming. It has two, actually, it's had two titles, okay? The same article. I don't have the other title handy at the moment, okay?
Okay, here it is. I'm looking here.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what the gentleman who wrote this, his name is Frederick Steer, S-T-E-I-R, okay, is saying, hey, the jig is up, Uber. You know, you've screwed your drivers to the point where they don't want to have nothing to do with you anymore.
They can just change the app. I mean, they can join a radio group or just change the app. This is what people don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, it's and I'll tell you something else. I was looking at the, out of all this blah, blah, blah with Uber, there was one thing I think I sent you the article. I'm going to let you check that out later. They had a graph about Uber. Uber had a big year hauling in cash in 2015. That was the big Uber getting money year. Okay?
Right.
I think they got like $5 billion in seed money. But the thing that is never said is that at least like 40% of their seed money is Goldman Sachs. So that's like a big part of it. And then they have the other crazy companies. But their seed money investors is drying up like crazy. So I know they're worried. Because not only that, but their early investors are like, listen, you've been saying you're going to go public. When are you going to go public? Because I've been waiting for some return, and I'm just getting a lot of BS. So not just Mike and Abe are starting to wonder about that. You got some big boys and big girls on Wall Street starting to say, listen, you've been screaming land on the ship, the good ship Uber for 4 years. When are you going to go public? Or when are you going to buy me out to give me some return on my investment? And right now, that's the question they're asking. So it's going to be a very interesting year this year with this whole BS on the internet. I mean, it's sickening. All I know is I'm driving a cab, and the cab people are coming back from Uber with horror stories, and the accountants don't want to, for these companies, have taken these millennial twerps out to the woodshed because they said, listen, we're not going to pay these surge prices anymore because these millennials think they're little kings and queens, and the company's like, okay, I'll give you $500 a month for riding in a cab. Now you're coming back with $2,500 a month, of which $2,000 is a surge price. They're like, I'm not going to pay that. So this is what's happening also.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this from that at the garage. They said the bookkeepers and the auditors at the end of the year, they go down and they see that as a courtesy, if someone works late, they give them a cab. All right, you live in Whitestone? Okay. You work to midnight? Great. We're going to put you in a cab. Go home. But then they were taking Ubers. So instead of a $50 cab ride to Whitestone from Manhattan, they're getting a $140 Uber ride to Whitestone in an Uber car, and the bookkeepers are seeing this for these big companies and saying, hey, schmuck, we're not going to give you $140 because you want to be a big shot in a black car or Uber car or whatever. And now they're even telling some of these people who are trying to do that, okay, you want to pay surge? You pay the surge. We'll pay our cab thing, and you can pay the surge part on top of it. And they don't want to do that. So business is booming, and this comes back to the people, and Abe, this is a you ready for this?
I'm gonna go for it.
The business is booming for the yellow cab drivers. I think we could get a fare increase for the drivers without raising the metered fare too much, but just pumping up different programs like group riding, like maybe a TLC mandated surge for separate locations, like the Javits Center would be nice to get a surge price over there. But there's a legion of people running cabs who have the pity party about saying there's no business, there's no drivers, and they keep sending the retired medallion owners these little letters saying, dear valued medallion owner, we're cutting your lease right. And I'm just wondering if they're living on the same planet as we are, because the drivers are doing okay, but you have these lease management companies who are crying poverty. And I'm just trying to say, I mean, it's good business to cry sometimes, but if the readings are coming into the TLC, what's going on? You have any idea in this department?
Do I have any idea? I have a personal stake in it.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I'm getting those letters. Okay, and I don't understand it. I understood it in the beginning, but it's just not making any sense to me at this point. Okay.
Well, in a way, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, but I don't want to make any accusations. Okay.
Okay. Not yet.
Okay, but sooner or later, the poop will hit the fan.
Right.
Okay, and don't be standing close to that fan blade, all right? Okay,
Yeah. So you're going to put on, like, a camouflage outfit and put
I'll be standing on the other side of the fan, that blows, in the direction, in the opposite direction. You know,
you'll be supplying the ammunition.
Well, if I... Okay, I think we've said enough about that, all right?
But the point is, with the owner must drive rule, they're going to relax that apparently, which I think is great to keep some of the experienced guys on the road, okay? Because a guy buys an owner driver cab.
Yeah, right?
We ain't getting younger in this business, but you have to keep some individual drivers on the road, okay? I mean, and a lot of these guys, they bought the cab, it's paid off. They don't want to deal with another driver who's going to go out and maybe wreck the car. So what they're doing is, they're just driving the cab like maybe 8 or 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, let's say 45 weeks a year, which is still a job. But the TLC had some crazy rule where it said you had to drive the cab 230 days a year, which is it's just horrible. Some of the people who make these rules with TLC.
The bad part about that rule was the driver who becomes ill. Okay. It's okay, to say that the car must be on the road 230 days a year, but what's the difference who drives it?
What's the difference who drives it?
Right. You want it out there to service the public, but what's the difference if the owner drives it or if his son drives it or if he hires a driver to drive it? If the owner gets ill, he can't drive. You want a sick guy driving?
Right.
You don't want somebody who's ill driving a taxi, as some of them are forced to do.
Right.
That's totally obnoxious. Okay?
Yeah, well, you're not gonna get better driving a cab. If you have some problem, the last thing the doctor is going to tell you to do is drive a cab for 60 hours a week as the road back to good health. You pretty much start with being healthy, a lot of these guys take 2 months vacations because the job is just very grinding.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do this.
Well, let me just say this. The TLC is about to make new rules for how many hours a day a person could work. Okay, and what defines the break, how much time should be between shifts, or perhaps how many hours out of 24 you're allowed to work. Okay,
right.
I don't know exactly where they're going with this, but they say they're going to make sure that the fatigued driver is not on the road. And I asked them, which is worse, a fatigued driver or an ill driver? Okay,
yeah.
You could be wide awake and sick, or you could be healthy and fatigued, okay?
Well, let me tell you something. What the taxi commission has to do, they're talking about the drivers are working too many hours. Let's say, why is the driver working too many hours? Because he's not making enough money. Because last year, with all this Uber mumbo jumbo, they almost put us out of business. So if they want drivers to work less hours, the first thing they should do is approve a real fair increase for the drivers, which I've been screaming at the top of my lungs, but sending it out right and left. So for the TLC to say they're going to cut down on how many hours the drivers work, it's like, okay, well, hey, great. Approve a fair increase where the drivers can make a little more money and the taxi owners can get better equipment and better cars so they don't go broke running cabs. Because you do have some drivers taxi operators who, thanks to Uber and the stupidity from the taxi commission, were basically not making any money for 2 years. And now they're finally seeing a little daylight. So we have to stop playing games. And look, I'm rambling. I know. I don't care. Because I have to say one more thing. The Uber surge pricing has proven to everybody that people who live in Manhattan and live in New York have money. They don't care to pay a little more for instant service. It's an instant service town. And these fairy tales about another passenger can't afford a dollar or two, the last person who was saying this, testifying against the taxi commission, turned out to be competitors against the yellow cab business. We had people who were trying to steal our business getting up and testifying that it's unfair to the passengers to get a fare increase. No, it's unfair to the cab drivers because we have people who aren't even in the taxi business testifying. They're not taxi drivers. They're not taxi passengers. There are people who want to steal our business saying the cabbie shouldn't get a fare increase. What the hell is that?
Mike, what percent increase should the taxis get?
At the very least, it should go something along the cost of living. But I'm saying right now, I wrote up something on my little story, or I wrote on your article, or a little...
Well, you have a post on the website about this, but I'm asking you, what percent, give me a number, what percent should the fare be increased? The fare has not been increased since late 2012. I think it was September right. of 2012. So we're going on 4 years that the fare has not been increased.
Right, and they gave us a little nickel and dime stuff. The only thing that was increased were the surcharge for the wheelchair. Then they gave us some big deal $4 for Kennedy Airport at the shift change. I think right now we're looking at across the board. You want me to break it down? What should be increased, or you want me to just say it?
Would you say it?
I would say at the very least, just go up around 15 or 20%.
Okay.
And that's not too bad, considering over the last 4 years, the cost of living has gone up probably about 10 to 20%, 12% right there. And that extra 5% could be used to increase, attract better drivers, increase the standard of taxi driving.
Okay,
and
so
it will also be factored in. Yeah, go ahead.
So a $10 fare should be $12.
Right, big deal.
No, it's not a big deal. Not in New York City.
Yeah.
Okay?
And especially after Uber let the cat out of the bag with surge pricing, that our customers don't care about a couple of bucks. It's a bunch of nonsense. And these people getting up and testifying, they're wearing $400 sneakers saying a cab driver shouldn't get another $2. Bleep them where they breathe.
Okay. With this fare increase, how many hours a day should a driver be allowed to work in a 24-hour period? What's the maximum number of hours?
I would say at the very least what that fare increase could do would be to reduce the number of hours. I mean, if you were saying you got some guys out there working 12, 14 hours, if
right.
you had a 15% fare increase, hypothetically, that would mean at least the guy could work, he wouldn't have to work 14 hours. He could work like maybe 9 or 10 hours.
Okay.
He returns to the human race, you know?
So perhaps there should be 3 shifts a day on the taxis of 8 or 9 hours each. Or 7
right,
and 9
right.
or something like that, you know, depending on the driver and what they feel they can do.
Right. And it should be structured where if it got out that the cab driver can make money driving a yellow cab, everything else will take care of itself. Because Uber is against a yellow cab increase because they know the drivers will come back. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. They don't want our fares to be increased because the drivers that are not making any money with Uber will fly back to the yellows as they already are doing.
Bingo. And I'll tell you, that's what makes me crazy. I think that the passengers in my cab, like me, I take cabs sometime in the city, right? If I'm saying, if I can get into a cab that's clean, I say, listen, I'm going to 43rd and 8th, boom, driver goes there, he's a pleasant guy, the car does his thing, I'll go for another $2. No big deal. It's not a problem, and you know.
It's less than a subway ride. $2.
Well, the problem is with these people. Also, one person gets in the cab and pays $15. Okay, if you had a cab buddy, like two or three people, you know, more people should be getting into that brain. It's like, listen, don't complain about a $15 cab ride. There's got to be someone in your world who you could share a cab with if you just text them and say, listen, I'm going downtown. No big deal, you know. Oh, and by the way, I haven't seen the bandwagon people out of JFK lately anymore, so I guess maybe that ship is sailed.
So the bandwagon went on the wagon.
Oh. Right, bandwagon is on. They've ridden out of town. Yeehaw! Yeah,
it didn't quite work out for them. You think?
Well, what they were doing, I mean, it was pissing me off. And was first of all, they have dispatchers there. The wonderful Gateway dispatching team. I don't know where they get some of these dispatches. Some of them are great, but some of them are just, honestly, I don't know if they get them. I think some of them might have records. I have to check to see if they have criminal records, because some of these characters, I mean, are just, I don't know if they've been vetting them or if they have something going on with the corrections officer, with the correction facilities. But some of them look sketchy, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And this is recently. But anyway, with the bandwagon thing, they were coming up to people getting into my cab. As they're getting into the cab, they're going, excuse me, sir, would you like to share? I said, listen, get out of here. Because the guy's all set to, like, get in the cab. He goes, no, thanks. Instead of them going to, like, back in the line to ask somebody who's going to wait 45 minutes for a cab if they'd like to share. No, they're going into, like, the first person getting into a cab saying, excuse me, sir, would you like to share? It's like, and they weren't telling the person that the flat rate is good for the first stop, and then the second stop, it's the metered fare.
Okay.
So, and then it was a mess. It was a mess.
Mike, we've covered this on a previous show, so let me move on, okay?
Move on.
All right. And now I'm going to give you a choice. Would you like to talk about the wheelchair accessible vehicles that people are required to buy, and what they can buy, or would you like to talk about this letter from the Daily News to the mayor, the one where they're demanding proof of the transportation study, the congestion study?
Oh, dude. Listen, the wheelchair stuff, you and me have talked about this. We don't want to misstate ourselves or steer cabbies in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Unintended. Let's do that. Absolutely, we'll do it for the next show.
Next show. Okay, next show we'll talk about
this.
Okay, there's a lot to say about the wheelchair accessible vehicles, okay?
But listen, for our fans,
yeah,
we promise we're going to get to it, but just you give an overview of what you found out so far that is fact. Just real quick, briefly.
Well, are you talking about the wheelchair thing? If I start, we're going to have to finish, okay? All right, let's leave it for the next show, okay? Let's just say there are many different types. I'm going to just say this. There are many different types of vehicles that are available, but not to everyone, period. End of discussion. We'll talk about it next show, okay?
Oh, that's a great hook, because why should some people get benefit and the other people can't? That's
right,
a very interesting
right,
thing.
Exactly.
That's,
okay, I want to talk. I want to talk about this congestion study, and suddenly the Daily News is demanding proof of the study. Okay,
and did you send that to me? I think I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, I did send it to you. It says, "Thank you, Mr. Mayor," is the article in the Daily News. Okay,
and this went with us today.
Yeah, I sent it. This was the date of the article is February 12th.
Okay, so what is your view on this? Instead of me just like reading.
Well, the Daily News obviously has caught on that this congestion study is a bunch of BS, okay?
Right.
And that the study that was issued to the public wasn't issued from the people that did the study, but actually just some 12-page synopsis of it was put together by the mayor's office.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So what happened to the $2 million? What happened to the $2 million?
That's what they want to know.
That's what I want to know.
Well, they're saying, why did you spend $2 million for a transportation congestion study and come up with this BS when everybody knows it's different? basically, what the Daily News is saying is, where did you get your information from? This was put out by your office. This wasn't put out by the people that did the study. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
There have been other reports of congestion, you know, prior to this that totally disagreed with this. That was in another article that was put out a few weeks ago. Okay.
Right.
That was in Cranes, I believe. All right. You know. So now the Daily News is putting the mayor's feet to the fire. They're saying, what did you do with $2 million? Where did this come from? We all know that this isn't true. You know, we want answers, okay? And in the article, the Daily News article, they're saying that the mayor has agreed to give them all the information they need or hide it, it says, on March 4th, I believe. Okay?
Or hide it?
Oh, yeah, well, that's what it says in the article.
Okay. So what the hell does that mean?
Right.
Secret.
Yeah.
Secret. They're not a private corporation. Who are these crazy people? They work for us. They work for the government.
Well, he might want to keep...
Nuclear devices?
Okay, all right. So you're reading the part now that says, 6 days later, the mayor's office emailed confirmation that on March 4th, he would provide the requested records or keep them secret. Okay?
Well, that's an interesting little way. Let me just, since we're here... what does that mean? I mean, what are we talking about? The Iran nuclear deal? I mean, no, we're talking about a transportation study. What do you mean, who is the city of New York that keeps stuff secret?
Right.
They don't pay for anything. They get money from us.
They work for the population of the city.
Yeah, right.
There shouldn't be any secrets. Okay? If they're going to keep them secret, they have something to hide.
Right.
Okay.
Or someone has something to hide.
Okay. Now, can you click on the part where it says we invited the mayor? We see that's highlighted?
Yes.
Click on that.
Okay.
That's the letter that was sent to the mayor.
Okay.
All right.
And it's signed by Arthur Brown. That's the big guy up there at the Daily News.
Okay.
See, now I'm going to send a sunshine letter to Arthur Brown and say thank you very much because... finally, maybe the Daily News. I'll tell you, maybe finally because Trump started yelling at the Daily News for being a rat.
Yeah, I know. He called them. He said they're a failing paper, and whatever they say doesn't mean anything.
Right. Okay. Well, now it means something. Now, finally, the Daily News is going back to being the Daily News. So that's good news.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, I think if a proper transportation study comes out, it's going to expose Uber for being, worthless. It's going to say, listen, you can't have all these crazy cars coming out. That's the end of it. That's what it should have said in the first place.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
And I'll tell you something else, Abe. The city of New York is always crying that they're broke. They could have easily auctioned off for higher vehicle medallions, green car medallions, kept the yellow cab medallions, and put a cap on this nonsense, because that's why I was invented in the first place.
They could have
you can't flood the street with cars.
They could have issued some FHV medallions also.
Yeah.
I mean...
And the only people who don't want it are these nuts from Uber who do nothing except create like an app that you can download on your phone.
You know, whoever thought of Uber had a good idea, you know, using the app, okay, which was already being used by other people, okay? But they had a very poor understanding of how the taxi business works. You can't flood the street with cars. Okay? You have to, you know, once you have enough cars to cover what work you can get, which is what all the car services have been doing for years, such as Dial 7, Interboro, you know, they know just how much work they can get and have their drivers make a decent living. And they don't keep flooding more cars out there to inhibit the ability of their drivers to make money. Okay? Right. It's just like, hey, you know, we have no openings. Okay? We're covered right now. Okay? No, that's not what Uber does. They're not covered. They think, you see, they thought that the more cars they put out there, the more people would use them and eventually they would kill every other vehicle in the city and be the only vehicle out there, the Uber vehicles. They couldn't have been more wrong. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because they thought that we would just whimper and disappear.
Right.
Okay? No, that's not the case. It'll never be the case. Okay? And that's where their inexperience is gonna be their Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what an Achilles heel is, of course. Okay, tell everybody what that is.
It's the tendon that goes between your calf and your ankle.
No, it's an expression from somewhere in history where Achilles was a great powerful man, I believe, but his heel was weak. And you know, they say a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You've heard that? Well, that's the weakest link. You know, that Uber thought they could put as many cars out there as they wanted to. Okay, and that each car that they put out there would make enough money to keep everybody happy in their organization. And for each car they put out there, they would be destroying the ability of the other businesses that have been around forever of existing.
You know, that's a brilliant tactical thing that you've identified, because their deal is not so much to provide a living for their drivers, but to crush the competition. That's
right,
the strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing is, because cabs have to roll. Now, the other thing here, very important, the yellow cab driver has to cruise the streets and roll and move to get fares. If they also are blocking the streets with cars and the yellow cab can't move, they destroy the business that way as well. And not to mention annoy the heck out of the public. Because a lot of these public don't know that it's all the Uber cars creating this mess. And the Uber cars don't have any identifying markers on the vehicles. There's no, like, Uber car. There's, like, a car number. God forbid something happens. You can't, like, a yellow cab, we have, I think it was 12 different places where the cab number is easily identifiable.
Right.
The Uber car is just like a little black Camry running around the streets. You don't know who the person is.
Right. And you know, and also, it's not only the taxis that can't move. It's the Uber cars themselves that can't move.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I'll tell you I've noticed this at the airports are being blockaded by Uber cars who are just stalling. They're not sitting in their lots where they're supposed to be. They're blocking the roads, and it's completing it's a mess at the airports.
Yeah.
So it's becoming a very dangerous thing for the city, and you have to still stop listening to these characters. I mean, I don't know who they've shoveled money at to get to this point. But there comes a point where it's like, listen, you can only blame Uber so much. It's just a company trying to do what they can to make money.
Yeah.
It has to go with the people who are running the city and say, listen, you can't do this. I mean, let's put it this way. If a guy wants to build a his own bridge to go from Queens to Manhattan and charge whatever he wants, the city and the people would say, like, well, listen, you got to talk to us first. Oh, no, 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 I'm going to build it. I don't care. It's the same thing. Why is that different? Or let's put it this way. Let's say we started a newspaper and called it the Daily News. How long do you think that would last?
I don't know, Mike. You know, Mike, I know what you're saying. What you're saying is they should have got permission to do what they're doing. You know, there should have been a study to see if what they wanted to do would work. Okay.
Right.
And obviously, any legitimate study would have told them that they were nuts. Okay. But there was none. Okay, listen, we have to wrap this up, Mike, because I got to go.
No!
I got to go. I got to go, and, you know, we're running over time, okay? Next week, in our next show, whenever that might be, and I never know anymore, but I'm hoping within the next week, we will...
Come on, we're going to get back on track. Don't say
okay.
that. You can't be
okay. All right, we'll get back on track. Okay, we will be discussing... The accessible vehicles and the options that the drivers and owners have for what vehicles they can drive. Okay? Or buy,
I should say. I'm all excited.
Okay. So thank you for tuning into the Mike and Abe Show. Okay? Okay, so goodbye, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.